Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. We have a great second hour of the show lined up for you. Yes, Gary Ginsberg, my favorite, is here, as usual, at the 17 or so mark on the hour, and he is going to discuss one of your questions. You can always send us questions at youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com, and I'll try and get them to Gary. But this one was about alcohol versus benzalkonium chloride. I'm not pronouncing it right, so I'm going to let him pronounce it. What is the better of the hand sanitizers to use? I always use an alcohol one, and it says kills 99.99% of germs on contact, works instantly. The other one seems to take about 10 minutes to dry in your hands, but may be more effective in not, in fact, causing chapped hands and cracks in your hands and skin. We'll talk to Gary about that. He also wants to talk again about a little more about your drinking water, and is it possible to have lead too high a quantity in your drinking water? And he's going to tell us that someplace in New Jersey does have too high a quality of too high a quality of lead in the drinking water. I have to apologize if you sent a question in recently on my udocs@gmail.com. I did not realize it, but it had unplugged from the internet connection. So we've now got that plugged in again. So I should apologize to anyone who sent a question in because I was not connected for a few minutes. The stories of the week are really remarkable in talking about obesity and new treatments for it. So one of those new treatments is swallowing a gastric balloon. Let's first set the stage. The U.S. government does a survey every year on weights and heights, but every 4 years does a really big survey. And this is looking at 10 years difference. So 10 years ago, the CDC said 32% of Americans were obese. We were gradually creeping up, and the indication was that it was about 35% 5 years ago, but not as good a survey as the 10 years ago, meaning not as many people. Well, it turns out we're at 38.2%. So we have crossed the 36%, we're 38.2%, and there isn't a area in the whole country, if you will, that has less than 20% obesity. So we're very fat, and what is that causing us as a country? Well, it's causing us to spend more money on type 2 diabetes care, more money on osteoarthritis care, more money on cancer, heart disease. Every one of the chronic diseases is probably made worse by obesity and the continued increase in our waistlines. We're now increasing our measure of obesity by 0.37% a year, which means we're weighing about a pound and a quarter more per person at the same height per year as we did last year. Is it reversible? Yeah, the Cleveland Clinic's had this program. Excuse me for making a little noise with my microphone there. But the Cleveland Clinic's had a program to look at all kinds of things, coaching, stress management, Weight Watchers, Curves. We offer all of these programs free to the employees, and our employees have been decreasing their waistline by 0.5% a year, or going the other way by about a pound and a half to the country. So our employees are getting thinner and healthier. That decreases our medical costs, which decreases the cost for insurance for our employees and decreases the amount we have to charge patients for their own medical care. Well, this week a number of therapies came out that are interesting, one of which was brain stimulation. You can stimulate the brain, put a deep brain stimulator in. Not what I would want done for myself, but a new therapy called a gastric balloon pill may help obese patients lose weight. So this has only been tried in 34 people. What it is it's a balloon that has its outer surface dissolved by your stomach acid, but it stays and it becomes about a, I think it's a 19-ounce ball of water. What happens is you swallow this, the outer surface gets dissolved by your acid. The inner surface is connected by a little tube to your mouth, and you fill it with saline or distilled water. I can't remember which they do. I think it is distilled water. And that then you pull away that catheter, it self seals, and you end up with this ball in your stomach, which makes you feel full, so you don't feel like eating as much. Well, this is another one of the programs. It actually, over 4 months, patients lost an average of 22 pounds each, which was about a third of their excess weight. So these were people who were around 60 to 70 pounds overweight. They lost about a third of the weight with this balloon. So it's not for everyone, but this balloon, not tried in America, not gone through the process yet, but looks like it will. It's Ellipse is the name of it. And it's actually made by a company in Wellesley, Mass. Called Alluron Technology. What I wanted to concentrate on in this segment was something very interesting, which was fruit and veggie intake and coronary calcium, and then talk about gene editing. We're not going to have enough time for all of this, so I'm going to set the stage now, and then at the bottom of the hour, after Gary Ginsberg, we'll talk about it in more detail. The story was highlighted was that there were two stories highlighted. One was on gene editing, but the story that I wanted you to know about was the story about fruit and veggies decreasing your heart disease and stroke risk. So this was a study in 2,500 people who already got a computerized x-ray, what we call computerized tomography, of their heart area. And then that gives us a score called a calcium score, because calcium will look up x-ray. And that calcium score, if it's over 400, you've got a very high chance of having heart disease. If it's under 100, you've got a fairly low chance. So it's a coronary calcium score. And what they found is the more fruits and vegetables people ate, the lower their coronary calcium score and the lower their risk of having a heart attack or stroke. So that's the good news. And you say, well, how does that work? Well, it works because the fruits and veggies turn on genes that cause a decrease in inflammation, or conversely, turn off genes that cause inflammation. So they suppress inflammation in the plaque, in the coronary artery plaque, or in the plaque in the blood vessels, and that suppressing that inflammation means it's less likely to rupture, less likely to be inflamed and have calcium associated with it, less likely to have a heart attack or stroke. So in this study, they looked at fruits and veggies, and the association was the highest tertile, which is the highest third of the people who ate fruits and veggies, had the lowest scores, and it was about a 25% reduction in their heart attack risk by having more fruits and veggies. So the great news is the more fruits and veggies, there's no upper limit to it. They taste great, and they decrease your risk of heart disease, stroke, memory loss, all of the important things associated with aging of your arteries. So that's that story. And people say, well, how's it work? It turns off your genes. Well, couldn't we edit out genes after you said there was this gene editing project? Well, we're going to get to editing out genes in the next segment at the bottom of the hour. We're waiting for Gary Ginsberg. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish, and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. And treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer. But find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. How are you doing? We have my favorite segment of the show right now, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. And I like to call this segment, What's Toxic, What's Not, because he always tells us the things that we can do as well as the things we shouldn't do. Gary, talk to us. We had this question, and anyone can send a question to us, obviously, but they send it to us at udocs@gmail.com. But I thought this one was a really good question. Someone wanted to say, I see two different types of hand sanitizers, the alcohol one and the benzalkonium chloride. And I can't even pronounce that correctly. But which works better?
Benzalkonium chloride.
Which works better?
Well, the claim is that because the alcohol-based wipe, which was in this brand that the particular emailer wrote about, Purell, which is ethanol-based, since it evaporates from the skin so quickly, that yes, ethanol-based Purell does work, but it wouldn't last as long as a disinfectant that's based upon the benzalkonium chloride, because it stays on the hands for a much longer period of time. It's not volatile. It'll stay put. However, as you then use your hands in getting them, you get them dirty, or you may get them wet and it may come off, or your hands may dry out, and the benzalkonium chloride isn't as effective in the dry state. So the actual efficacy for a half hour, an hour, several hours may not differ that much between the alcohol-based and the quaternary amine, which is what these other ones that you were referring to are. They may not be that different. And I think what most people want to know is that if they go into a bathroom or they go into a sick room and they come out, and if they don't have soap and water, which we always recommend you soap and water, a good 30-second wash or a minute wash with soap and water, if you don't have that and you need to use a hand sanitizer, you want to know that your hands aren't carrying germs from that high vulnerability area where you just were. I don't know that people need to know that as they then walk around through the rest of their day, that every surface they touch, they're going to be their hands are going to be sterilized from. You know, you're not in a hospital, you're not a doctor. Most of us don't have to worry about every surface. It's just the high-risk surfaces, and that's what you need, an alcohol-based one. And the reason I'm pushing the alcohol-based ones is because they are not known to be allergenic. And there is a percentage of the population that tends to get an allergy from the quaternary amines. Not a high percentage, but some percentage of you out there may get a rash from it. And so there have been concerns about, for example, in school systems where they can't line everybody up to wash their hands, the young ones, if there's a peanut allergy in the classroom after lunch, you know, you want to get these kids' hands clean so they're not spreading peanut butter all over desks and whatnot, and they want to use the right hand sanitizer. And if you have one that's benzalkonium-based, some of those kids may be allergic, so school systems aren't using that. So anyway, that's just my reaction to that mailbag. Any reaction you have, Mike?
Well, we use these alcohol things. I probably put them on 30 or 40 times a day. They seem to not dry out my hands as much as I expected them to.
Right.
And so they seem to work fine.
Yeah. Now, alcohol-based, they're very effective in killing bacteria. And you'd have to repetitively use them if you keep running into high-risk surfaces. But most of us aren't doing that. You as a doctor, yeah, I can see why you have to keep applying it. I think that's the bottom line for your caller, the Purell is fine.
So now let's go one step back. If you were doing this and you worked in a hospital like I do, what would you do?
I think the alcohol-based and just keep reapplying it. If you have access to the benzalkonium chloride-based, that would also be effective. As long as you're not allergic to it, that's fine.
Gotcha. Okay, let's go and do now one of my favorite subjects is microwave popcorn. Because you can actually put microwave popcorn, you can take regular popcorn that you air pop, put it in a bag and put it in the microwave, and it works. So tell us about
interesting. Well, the way they package the microwave popcorn. They put it in a paper bag on the outside, but then the inner lining is grease-resistant and heat-resistant. And unfortunately, it is chock full of perfluoroalkyl compounds, which have emerged in the last 10 years as being toxic and persistent and endocrine disruptive, and really not things that we want to have a lot of. And we all now have a percentage of it in our body. Even if you don't eat microwave popcorn, but those people who do eat microwave popcorn have a little bit more in their blood. And so Denmark, I don't know what they're using as the replacement, but they said, you know, this doesn't seem like, we don't know all the answers, but this doesn't seem like a good idea for people to be exposed to this emerging toxic chemical in their microwave popcorn. So they came up with an alternative, and their manufacturers now, if you want to sell in Denmark, you have to be perfluoroalkyl free with your microwave popcorn. So they took all the microwave popcorn off the shelf last summer. And as of this fall, now all the microwave popcorn in Denmark is PFAS free, which is a major step forward, but I haven't seen what the alternative is, so I don't know if it's replacing one unfortunate chemical for another. But it sounds like, you know, they've really thought about it and care about doing the right thing, so I bet it's an improvement. But it's just interesting that if you do eat microwave popcorn on a frequent basis, you will have higher exposure to this chemical. We're still trying to wrap our hands around all the toxic issues with it. So you might want to do the old traditional stovetop version sometimes, at least so you're not getting as much of the perfluoros as you could if you use microwave all the time.
And the self one, since I do it, you can put it in glass, or you can put it in a paper bag in your microwave, and all you do is you microwave the popcorn like you would for an air pop popcorn if you want it that way instead of air popped. I still like it air popped.
That's beautiful. And then you just add the butter and the salt at the end, rather than having it built into the package.
Yeah, no butter, please. Anyway, the tap water, can your tap water be high in lead? And you said, where in New Jersey do we not want to drink tap water?
Several townships, Passaic County, had some, the water company had to send out a warning last week that higher lead levels were found in some of the supply lines, which still have some old lead plumbing. And even if there is old lead plumbing, which old cities like Boston and Washington could still have, it doesn't have to be a problem if the water's properly balanced. It's just hard for these water supplies to always have the water to be non-leaching water. And so the rule of thumb is to always flush your cold water for 30 seconds before you drink it. Then the water won't have had a chance to pick up a lot of lead in it. And don't drink hot water. Hot water will leach more lead. You always want to make sure your water's clear and cold and a fresh flush, not first flush of the water, to make sure you don't have lead in your water.
Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com, the best segments always every week. Gary, we're going to talk about arsenic and embalming fluid and how it's leaking into water next week, because we have a brand new show. But we're out of time this week. We'll be.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. You can find Michael's products at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaelshealth.com.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Do you want greater intimacy and to have a better sex life? Who doesn't, really? Dr. Kara, when we think of high blood pressure, stress levels, we have so much of it, and it can turn both people in the couple off. What do you recommend? Are there any products that you like to recommend?
I tell my patients there are the four pillars. The four pillars are diet, exercise, sleep, and stress reduction. Each one of those independently can significantly improve sexual function.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
Mary Jo, what is the communication end of this all?
The best thing to do is decide together that you want the relationship. When you want the relationship, then basically it's not my needs or your needs. It's about doing what's best for the relationship. What's best for any relationship is good communication and intimacy.
Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meetings, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks. Or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD, where we hope we're able to motivate you and give you enough information so you can take control of your genes and live at the top of your curve till very near the end. And in fact, one of the great stories out this week is about fruit and veggies decreasing your coronary calcium score. And you say, well, what does that have to do with me? Why do I care about that? Well, what that is that your calcium score is one of the best, it's a late indicator, but one of the best indicators of whether you will have a heart attack or stroke. And so what this and way this is done is it's a relatively inexpensive, and by that I mean it probably costs around $200. It's a short form CT scan, that is computerized tomographic X-ray scan of your heart. So you only want to get it every now and then, meaning at most every 8 or 10 years. But it is, when you get it, it's a very good indicator of heart attack risk. So this was a group that looked at those people who had the highest intake of fruit and veggies, and what they found is they had about a 25% reduction in their risk of heart attacks after 20 years. So keep eating fruit and veggies for 20 years and you reduce your risk of heart attack and this indicator, even if everything else in your life, your calcium, cholesterol, your blood pressure, everything else is equal, just to having more fruits and veggies is what they looked at. Now, why is that important? Because what that is turning on the genes that decrease inflammation, or turning off the genes that increase inflammation. So you, by having fruits and veggies, you turn off those inflammatory genes. But what we learned, so we know a lot about how to turn on and off your genes. How does that work? It's basically your genes have switches on them. I got privileged to talk to the high school students at John Hay High School in Cleveland on Friday, and one of the girls asked me, how does that work? And the reason it works is that your genes are attached to more DNA, and on that DNA that they're attached to are signals to the protein manufacturing component of your cells. Read this gene and make that protein, or don't read this gene and don't make that protein. And it turns out that food is very powerful at influencing that switch that says read this gene or don't read this gene. All genes do is make proteins or watch other genes, and whether they're active or not is to a large degree your choice via exercise, via tobacco, via managing stress, and probably the most powerful, maybe stress is the most powerful, but right up there are your food choices. So this is more fruits and veggies. And clearly from last week's or 2 weeks ago's show, more olive oil decreases your risk of both heart disease, stroke, memory loss, and cancer, all the inflammatory ones. But we also learned this past week with that boy who had the editing out of the gene that caused his lymphoma, that maybe we're getting to this point of being able to do gene editing. Now, CRISPR is the current molecule or the current enzyme, and when you ask people in the lab, is it expensive to do gene editing, they say, you know, it's like a scissors, you cut it out, you put in a different gene in that same place, that whole replacement sequence in agents. Now, it takes skill, obviously, but in if you're talking about the reagents that you inject in, you cost under $30. So can you imagine if we did this even with a full-sized human for under $30, you take out the gene in that's causing the lymphoma to be able to be propagated, and you put in another one, or you just take it out without doing anything, and you could do that, and that's what happened in this kid. Now, we do it in animals, but this is the first child that's been done in. Now, there are a couple important things. This is a somatic gene mutation, not a germ cell. Germ cell mutations mean you get them from your mom and dad, and they're in every cell. Somatic is they just are in these specific cells. They, if you will, is a transformation of those cells by a mutation. So when this person got lymphoma, one of the things the lymphoma did, he was dying of the lymphoma. He had had every treatment. Nothing was working. And what they found out is he had a gene that put out a protein that inhibited his own cells from attacking the lymphoma. And that's what cancers do. The reason we all have cancer cells, rogue cells that are born in us, but we have a proofreader gene, P53, that reads all these genes, all these duplications, and kills the cell, calls forth your immune cells to kill that cell if it has a mutation in it. Well, what happens is in cancer, it makes an abnormal protein that stops your own immune cells, that inhibits your own immune cells from being able to attack the cancer. It's, well, it puts up a wall or defense so you can't kill it. And what happened in this kid is at Great Ormond Hospital in Great Britain, was dying of this. They found this. They used this gene editing to cut out that gene. Remember, all genes do is make proteins. They cut out the gene that made the protein that inhibited the immune system, and his own immune system turned on the cancer and knocked it out. There's no evidence he's got it anymore. So that's the power of gene editing. Will we get it in germ cells? So germ cell, if you will, gene abnormalities such as that cause the BRCA1 or BRCA2 that promote cancer and ovarian cancer and other forms, pancreatic cancer, well, those are in every cell, and we don't know yet how to do those. We do know through this CRISPR technique how to do that in somatic cell mutations. Will we be seeing this in many more cancers? My guess is yes. How soon? I would have said it's 5 to 10 years away, but they've already used it. So maybe it's going to be here much faster than we thought, and maybe we'll get to editing germ cells much faster than we thought. Those are really differences than we've ever, at least than I've ever thought of, that are occurring really, really quickly. I do want to talk about one more thing before we go to break, and we'll come back and continue that. We talked about the gastric balloon pill that makes you feel full. We've gone up in obesity by about a pound and a quarter per person in the United States at the same height per year for the last 10 years. Horrible change, because what that does is it increases all of the chronic diseases, heart disease, cancer, obesity, need for hip replacement, osteoarthritis, dementia. All of these things are made worse when we as citizens in the United States get fatter, and that causes an increase in costs for all of us. Smoking rates down substantially. That's the good news. We went from 45% in 1960 of smokers to now just 16.8%. Tremendous benefit. But the people without insurance and the people on Medicaid are smoking much more. They're 25% as opposed to 16.8% for those of us with insurance. We'll be right back, and I'm going to talk about more of the implications of that for your wallet and mine, and you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay tuned. Come back.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and this product is not intended to diagnose, cure, treat, or prevent any disease.
Awaken your mind with Exact, a new dietary supplement designed to help you gain a mental edge. Exact fuels your natural brain chemicals to unleash mental energy and stamina, providing the intense focus and drive you need to initiate important tasks and push through challenges. With Exact, you can think smarter, faster, and stronger, because Exact supports faster reaction time and memory recall with improved problem-solving skill and accuracy. Exact contains ingredients from traditional Chinese medicine and Indian Ayurvedic medicine. No synthetic drugs or chemicals. Exact is created from herbs that have been safely used by healers for thousands of years. Experience a new kind of energy, mental energy, and get the focus and breakthrough mental edge you need to succeed with Exact. Learn more about the science behind Exact, see what customers are saying, and try Exact 100% risk-free at ExactMind.com. That's the letter X, ACTMind.com. ExactMind.com.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover even hotels.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Every 39 seconds, an adult dies from a heart attack, stroke, or related disease. These conditions claim the lives of more than 800,000 adults each year and are largely preventable. Two leading risks for heart disease and stroke are high blood pressure and high cholesterol, serious conditions that often have no symptoms. 68 million adults have high blood pressure, and 71 million have high cholesterol. Here's what you can do to reduce your risk. Take your prescription medications to control blood pressure or cholesterol. Eat a healthy diet that's low in salt, fat, and cholesterol, and full of fresh fruits and vegetables. Take a brisk 10-minute walk, 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Don't smoke. If you do, quit now. While you've been listening, one person has died from heart disease or stroke. You don't have to be next. Learn more about how to keep your heart healthy at www.cdc.gov/heartdisease.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. We provide you with the information so you can take control of your genes and live at the youngest age possible. Well, one of the stories this week, and by the way, we've gotten a lot of people who've commented on the gene editing and what's the downside. Someone said, well, imagine if this technology gets over to ISIS and they figure out how to what genes it is, because they got the largest database. You use large databases in these gene screening. They found the gene that knocks out the inhibition to killing people. Well, they can then make all of their fighters, they knock out those genes in the people that they recruit, and they knock all of them killers. It's bad enough as it is now. So there are some downside potentials. We don't know if those potentials would be realized, how complex knowing that is. What we've done now, if you will, is we can screen genes for under $1,000. In fact, it's offered at Walmart. You can get your whole genome sequence screened for under $1,000. Imagine if we did that and picked out characteristics which would harm society and then put those people loose on society. Scary. Anyway, I wanted to go over some other thoughts that are good. By the way, we've got a couple people who have said flushing water, great tip from Gary Ginsberg. So Gary did talk about how to always flush the water out and get cold water when you're using it for cooking or even for boiling water. Don't start with hot water because you'll pick up more bad stuff from your pipes. this was an interesting study that looked at people randomly allocated 9,361, so it's the highest quality study, who had an average age of 68, and they looked at the first heart attack, stroke, heart failure, cardiovascular death, and they said, let's aim for some of those being treated with their blood pressure to get to 120 versus the standard 140 or less. So those who went to 120 or less compared to 140 or less, the 120 or less had a 25% reduction in one of those events and 27% reduction in dying from any cause over the study period, which I think was about 8 years. I'll find that out in a second. So that's a tremendous benefit, at least in patients with no diabetes, but with hypertension and who are at risk for cardiovascular disease. That is, average age was 68. And let's see how long they studied it. I think these were 8 years, as I remember it, and it is 8 years. So that is correct. So lower on blood pressure may even be better for the elderly, at least the elderly. They excluded diabetics, but maybe even diabetics. Another article this week that I wanted to talk about was, if you're getting the flu shot, please do get the flu shot. But if you do get it, beforehand, sleep 8 hours a day for 3 days. Take a multivitamin, half of a multi, morning and night for 3 days, and exercise routinely for 3 days. That is, the people who did this had a doubling. And this is amazing. This is the older people who did this, who did those three things, had a more than doubling of their antigen, that is, their ability to fight the flu. So regular exercise in these men who are 65 to 85 who exercised, and they did that by doing volleyball or basketball 2 to 3 times a week, 22 avid exercisers, and 16 inactive men. The men who did the activity slept and got the multi much better take rates on their flu shot. One of the other really interesting stories, and I don't even know how to handle this story because I don't know what to make it, other than the fact that it does mean that there's an increased cost of medicine, if you will, in California. But what they showed was that in California, half of the illegal immigrants, if they look at eligibility, will be eligible for the Medicaid expansion in California. That California thinks will save them expensive hospitalizations of these people by getting routine treatment before they get really sick. And the question is, will that save them money, or will it cost them a ton of money for the Medicaid program? And who will pay that? The other story I definitely wanted to get to before we leave you, and this one's on kids' TV. Sugary treats are pitched to parents as healthy. So this is, over the course of a year, commercials for about half of the 51 children's food and drink products that are advertised on network, cable, or syndicated television in the U.S. targeted parents with themes of family bonding, nutrition, active lifestyles, and 42% of the total airtime in all of these kids' ads, and there are tons of kids' ads on food, were trying to sell sugar as healthy. Some of it was for sugar-sweetened drinks. 73% of those ads targeted parents saying this was a healthy thing. It ain't healthy. We want to get all the simple sugars, simple carbohydrates, and added syrups out of the diet. Please, there's no mistake. So if you're a parent or a grandparent, don't fall for that false promise of getting healthy. one of the other, there was another story I ought to take on. Grilled meat and barbecued meat increased cancer of the kidney risk, and any meat, any red meat increases cancer of the kidney because you change the bacteria inside your gut to produce butylbutane, which causes chronic kidney disease. So we've had a great set of stories today. Holistic psychotherapy, learning where the problem comes from. Tom Gigliotti talked to us about it and about how when you learn where the problem comes from, you can change your behavior so you don't own that problem anymore. Dr. Elsag of the Mayo Clinic talked to us about the latest in Parkinson's treatment and about the importance of exercise, getting tired, hot, and sweaty 4 times a week to decrease dementia and to decrease your Parkinson's risk substantially. We also learned about fruits and veggies decreasing inflammation in your coronary arteries, and of course about the decrease in cigarette smoking but increase in obesity in the United States. We'll be right back next week with a new show, and we're going to talk about more P53 genes, how to edit them in so you have less cancer. We'll be right back next week.